Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, folks, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting straight out of the city of Chicago. Thank you. And, And one of the weirdest things happening, folks, is that the weather here is so unseasonable. Not unpredictable, but unseasonable. Maybe also unpredictable. But it's happening, folks. It feels like it's the start of springtime in the middle of actually at the end of November. Yeah, and so we having some strange weather, but you know we're coping, we're dealing with it. I mean, I don't believe that anybody's complaining. And, you know, so I don't know. I've always stated that even in some of the past shows that Chicago was going to have it was going to be a mild winter because summer was just so great. It was so great. And it still seems as though we're having some of the after effects of that great weather. And that's one of the things that made me say that we're going to have a mild winter. This is not the weather reports. This is George Wilder Jr. Saying this on his show that I've said it months back, and it's coming true. For your information, I don't listen to weather reports on television anymore. I mean, these guys are just too damn, they're wrong too much. They're wrong all the time, and it's disappointing. You know, sometimes I can tell the weather just by looking out of the window here, figuring out what people have on. But sometimes that's not the way to do it because people are crazy. And, you know, they'll come out in 20 below zero weather wearing shorts and thongs. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Amazon.com. Pick up my ebook. Hit me. And you die. It's just very entertaining. I know the title is very, very strong, but the book is actually a short story. It's very, very entertaining. And that's why it's like watching a movie. It's like reading a movie script or something. But it was fun to write and I loved it. And it's short and to the point. Some people say, George, why do you do short stories? Simply because they're short. I don't want to spend 2 or 3 years, a year, maybe 2 or 3 years writing a 300, 400 page novel when I can do at least 6 or 7 short stories per year. I look at it that way. And all those stories that I do are, you know, definitely stand on their own. There's no series or anything like that. I think there is one, the Derek Sweat series. I think I did 4 of those. And this particular short story is also a Derek Sweat story, but it's, you know, it's a short story. It's not a novel or anything. Okay, let me stop blowing my own horn for you. But anyway, stop by there and pick up that book. You can always find it on Amazon.com, George Waddle Jr., Amazon.com. All righty, follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio. I'm all over the place, Google. And I think you have to be if you are in business like I am, of trying to do what I do. Okay, you've been listening to the George Waddle Jr. Show, and it is 6:06 straight up Chicago time. My guest is author Marnie Grutman. Okay, and we're going to be talking about what are some of your best and worst memories of 2016, because we're heading into 2017. And I guess if I can start right off, I'm going to say one of my worst memories of 2016 is seeing Donald Trump elected. I mean, I think that stands. I think that stands and towers over any other happenings in 2016. You know, but hey, it is what it is. We have him. We have to deal with it, and we have to go on. So 347-857-1762. What is your worst or best, you know, memory of 2016? As if I didn't know already. Okay, we're gonna take a slight musical break here, folks, and we will be right back. Thank you for once again tuning into the George Waddle Jr. Show. You don't know how much you are appreciated. Someone asked me, what kind of music do you like? What kind of music do you like? And I have to say, I said I was going to talk about this today on the show. I have to say, for me, I have to say old school music. I mean, I am totally old school music. You know what? I think I would probably be old school. I think I would probably be old school music, even if I wasn't at the age that I'm at. If I was 20 or 30, you know, I think I would still be into old school music because it's better music. It's better. You know, and you wonder where jazz went. You wonder where blues went. You even wonder sometimes where rock and roll went. The 60s, the 70s, the 80s, you know, and now we got Miley Cyrus, Beyonce, Jennifer Lopez. Give me a break, please. And you got a lot of rappers out there. There are a few people, music acts today, that maybe a couple that I can probably get next to. I used to be a fan of, he's now deceased. I'll think of his name in a second, but anyway, I mean, old school music is just a cream of the crop, like Motown. You can't Chess Records, the Philly sound. And even easy listening music, Johnny Mathis, you have Shirley Bassey, you have, a lot of these Engelbert Humperdinck, you have a lot of Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, you have all of these people who are deceased, but they've left so much music around. around them. I mean, Willie go around in circles. Billy Ocean. A lot of them singers are deceased. And another thing I'd like to say about music is that music is not, for some of us, music is not the career to go into. It is not, because the music business, folks, the sales are flat. I mean, I can walk into any department store, any big box store, and the music section of the store, there's not one person browsing the musical section of that department store where the CDs are and all that kind of stuff, different artists. There, it's empty. It's bare. The people are over, they're over in the movie section, you know. But and also there's another section of the store that's seemed to always be empty. Books. You hardly see anybody over in the book aisles, the book section, shopping or browsing for books. So music and books, from my standpoint, I'm not saying that books do not sell or music do not sell. I'm just saying that they are not what people are really into, you know, and they're not. And so, but a lot of people, like I said yesterday on the show, a lot of people have made strides, have made real good money being writers, you know, producing and publishing, you know, so it's out there, but it's not out there as it used to be, especially music. I was so shocked to find out that people really aren't into music, because one of the things about music, there is so much technology going on. You can make your own music. You don't need a band anymore to have an orchestra. You don't need a band anymore. You don't need, all you need is a computer and a few loops and a computer program, and you can put together a great band. You can make your own music. You can be your own solo singer, or you can have a backup group without having a backup group, because technology and the computers, and it's been going on for years. A lot of people use it. DJs use it. Talk show hosts use it. A lot of music software out there to make great music, and you don't have to have a band or a drummer. You don't need these people anymore. You don't even need, if you want to be an orchestra, you can be an orchestra. If you want to be a rock band, you can be a rock band all by yourself. If you want to be a jazz musician, you can be one all by yourself with accompaniments, you know, the instruments in the back backing you up. If you're a singer and you're doing this stuff on the computer, you don't need, the computer will generate your backup singers for you. So, I mean, you think about the Jackson 5, the Temptations, and all these groups, you know, but now everything is virtually, you can make the same kind of music without even having people around you. You don't need a producer. You don't need you can do all of these things yourself. You don't need someone that's going to mix your music. You can mix your music yourself. You don't. And after you get all of this stuff, mixing and writing, you can write your own music. You can arrange your own music all by yourself on that computer, doing that software program. And you never know how much of the music today, right now, is just computer generated. First, musician would go make his music on the computer, and then if he's successful, he'd go out there and hire himself a group to learn how to play the music that he's created on the computer, and you know, and they go with it. I think it's, in some cases, I think it's so unfair and so not right for musicians to be unemployed. They are, in this sense, you know, because you really don't need a backup band. You don't need a backup group to make a great, great number one song these days. Anybody can do it. You know, things are just too simple nowadays. And I believe that's the reason why so many people are giving up on buying CDs by other people other artists, no matter who they are. If, put it this way, if someone's in the store to buy some music, more likely it's old school music or it's rap music or something to that effect. But then again, most rappers, they do the same thing. I mean, they go out and buy them an expensive or they download or they buy it online, expensive music software that they can download into their computer and be whatever band they want to be. They can sing, they can, you know, arrange, move loops around, change them, make them sound differently. It's just magical to what you can do all by yourself to create that sound that you want. You don't need producers or any of the kinds of things that it used to take to produce a hit song. You can just do it by yourself. You may need a mixer, but if you think about it, a lot of these musical programs come with a virtual mixer right there. You can do everything right there. Mix it, change it. You can give it weird sounds, effects. And this, as some of you probably know, this has been out for a long time. But this is one of the things that's causing the drop in musical sales around America and maybe around the world. I mean, there used to be a time when you could walk into a record company and if you were any good, you could make a record. That's not anymore. Record companies are non-existent anymore. You can't walk into a record company and record a song. You used to be able to do that years ago. And that's one of the reasons why music sales are down. It is not that the talent is not out there. It's just that things are just so different now. I mean, you can be as talented as Michael Jackson, as Prince, as James Brown, as any other artist of the past, and you will not get a record contract. It seems like nowadays, 2016, 2017, it seems like nowadays, if you want to be a star, you got to have a hit record, maybe, and you got to be, especially if you're female, you got to be able to take your clothes off on stage. Now, that's a damn shame. I mean, a lot of these, or you got to be real, you got to look real sexy, 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 dress, you know, like a tramp, and you have your shorts or your pants or your thongs all up in your butt, twisting and turning with a microphone. I don't think that's fair, and I don't think that's good. I mean, a lot of the legends of music have complained about today's music being so vulgar that the female artists have to get on stage in order to give a good show, take off their clothes or do sexual gyrations or dress skimpy. You know, I agree. I think that's awful. I really do think that's awful. I don't think that is necessary, but hey, this is the 21st century. What can I say? And another thing about it to me, folks, is that remember when you used to turn on the television and you see a singer with a band behind her playing, actually, you would see a singer like Sade, for instance. I mean, you'll see her on stage at some cases. I'm pretty sure she's still doing it. You'll see her on stage and she'll have a three-piece or a four-piece band behind her, four guys playing behind her. Nowadays, nowadays on stage, you will see the singer and you will not see the band. You won't see anybody accompanying them, but you know the music, you can hear the music, but you won't hear anybody or see anybody behind them. You know, there's no band. Unless you go to a live show, you might see a band, but if you take shows like American Idol, The Voice, the X Factor, and a lot of these other TV shows, you'll see the singer, but you will not see the band. A lot of it, it's lip synced, but a lot of it is totally, totally live. And that's what pisses me off, because I say, where's the band? I mean, you see the singer singing, dressed, looking great, But there's, and you hear the music and you hear the background singers, but only thing you see is that one solo singer standing on stage. And I think that's wrong. I mean, because the band, if it wasn't for the band, she would not be up there. If it wasn't for the musical sounds, she would not be up there. If it wasn't for the guys playing in the background, she would not be up there. So show them. I mean, there was years ago, you used to see the bassist, the guitarist, the horn section, the drums, the bongos. You would see guys playing instruments on stage, on television. But now you don't see that. The only thing you see now, if you're watching The Voice, you just see the singer standing up there on stage singing. You hear the music, but you don't see the guys who are producing it, who are playing. And I think that's wrong. I think if someone's playing a guitar, if someone's backing up a singer, I think the backup band should be shown, the guys who are actually producing it. Because if it wasn't for the band, she'd sound stupid, you know, without music. Or he would sound stupid. So oh, well, I'm sorry, folks. I'm going on a rant here because I think music has gone down the tube. Down the tubes, and that's a bad thing. And for jazz, I mean, I am a total jazz lover. I love jazz, but it's dead. It's as dead as rock and roll. It's as dead as soul music. It's as dead as Motown. In some circles, but some of that music will always live with me. Some of these great artists that we've had in the past, some of them are dead and long forgotten, and that's a damn shame. If you watch some of these music award shows, you don't hear anything mentioned about some of these past, now deceased, great musicians. I think that's wrong. I written a book of fiction. It was a fiction. It's a fictional story. It's a Derek Sweat. But one of the things I mentioned in that book, I believe it's called Back in the Groove. But anyway, one of the things I did mention, there's a chapter in there where the bad guy goes to the radio station and he holds everyone there hostage because they stop playing his favorite music, and his favorite music is jazz. They stop playing it. So he holds them hostage. And I was just trying to allude to the fact that there's not a Miles Davis. There are people out here, musicians playing jazz, but you don't hear about them as much as you do a Miley Cyrus or Beyonce, or Jennifer Lopez, or Adele, some of these people here. And a lot of these artists today, they are not on board with showcasing the musicians in back of them. We don't know who they are. If we buy one of their CDs, of course, there's credits on the back. On the back of the CD, listing all those people who have contributed to making that CD. But on stage, you just see this one person up there singing, and you wonder, where's the band? Are they down into the stage or something? Because, you know, I mean, I think the bass player is just as relevant as the lead singer. I think the lead guitar is just as, because they all have their own talents. You know, she can sing. She's got a talent. He can play the guitar. That's a great talent. He plays the bass. That's great. He plays drums or congos. That's beautiful. We all have our own individual talents. But music has really gone to the dogs, folks. I'm not going to lie. Every time I want to enjoy today's music. I want to look at young people and say, hey, wow, you're doing a great job on that stage. But, you know, having a great voice is not all that. You got to have people behind you playing behind you and backing you up, making you look even better, making you look and sound even better, even better. So music today is very disappointing to me. 347-857-1762 is it's very disappointing and it's gone down the tubes. I don't think if you look at the stock market or you Wall Street, it will tell you that music sales are rock bottom. Rock bottom. The only way I believe that musicians make money nowadays is through tours and concerts. That's where their money is made. Not making a record, not making recording a record, even if it hits number 20 or number 10, Lord forbid, number one. The money maker for a lot of musicians is touring. That's where it is. That's where they get their bread and butter. And like I said before, music has really, really evolved into nothing, especially because you don't need a band. You don't need a band to make music. You don't need a band to make house music. You don't need rock and roll. So you don't need a band for that. Today's music. Even back in the days, the 90s, the 80s, 90s, where Michael Jackson was on top, you know, he made a lot of his music from the computer. And then he went out and hired guys to play. Even Michael Jackson, you see some of his concert, and he just gone. But there's no musicians. Where are the musicians? You know, you want to see the guys who are making this fantastic music for him. You want to see the guys who are in the background, who are doing it all. But I believe that some of the singers and musicians, some of the singers, the reason why they don't show the guys who are backing them up, who are playing the music, because they want the spotlight only on themselves. You know, keep the guys in the background, keep them hitting back there behind the curtain, and let the singer, you know, come out on his or her own and just take the spotlight. I think that's unfair. That's unfair, you know, but music is a dying industry in some cases. Some people say, well, it's not. Country music is flourishing. I'm going to say this again. I go to all these department stores, and I hardly see anybody in the music section of the store buying CDs. I go to the book section in some of these high-end stores, and I see no one buying a book. I'm not saying people do not buy books. I'm not saying people do not buy books. I know they do, but they may not buy them to the extent that some of us would like them to do. Because if you think about it, people don't read. They don't read, and they're proud not to be readers. But you got a few out there who do, but I would think the majority of the people, they don't read and they don't give a damn about reading. So if you got a book out there and you're trying to tell everybody about your book, a lot of people aren't going to give a damn about your book. Even if you make a CD or song, a lot of people aren't going to give a damn about that. They, unless you give it away for free, you give it away for free, they're going to flock. They're going to be flocking to your door for free, because people do want things for free. Even if they can afford it, people want things for free. You know, even if you're charging 99 cents for your book on Amazon, people may not buy it. But the minute you put up and say it's free, they're going to be breaking down your door for it. You're going to get a million downloads, but you're not going to make one cent from it. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on my rant about the failings of the music business. But you know what? I'm always going to be a music person. I love music. I've made it. I've created it. And it's great. It's wonderful. And I'm always going to love music. I'm always going to be that old school radio host, and I'm gonna be proud of it. I mean, I listen to old school music and I love it, and I'm gonna continue to do that until the day I'm gone, till the day I die, put it that way, because I love old school music. I will never ever be a Miley Cyrus fan. I'm not dissing people who like her or people like her or just like her. I'm not dissing people who get on stage great. Be on stage and start taking off their clothes like Lady Gaga. I'm just not into that. Call me fuddy-duddy, call me out of touch, call me, you know, what you want. But hey, I'm into old school music, Motown, the Philly sound. I mean, I'm just into, if you hear some of the music that I play on the show, that will give you an idea of what musical frame of mind that I'm in. All right. Okay. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is 6:30 straight up Chicago time. It is balmy outside. It's unseasonable, but it is totally nice. I believe it's about 55 to 60 degrees out here. It looks like the beginning of summer, the beginning of springtime instead of going into winter 2016. Yeah, but we're enjoying it. We are totally enjoying it. My son right now he's at his basketball tryout. He's practicing. He's going to have I always say things about my son, especially if I am proud of him at something. And I'm hoping he's successful at it. He's at his basketball tryouts. I think the tryouts are over and he's actually, practicing for a game next week. Wow, that's interesting. So my guest today is author, supposed to be at 6:30 now, but Marty Grundman. Sometimes people come on the show, sometimes guests show up, sometimes they do not show up. But, somebody could have forgotten to put the date for the show on their calendar, because this particular show was booked 2 months in advance. So I can understand how people can forget to write this stuff down, but you're supposed to. I mean, if you if you're on top of things, you write things down like that if you want to actually be on the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right, we have been talking about the music business, and if you have any complaints, if you disagree with what I'm talking about, 347-857-1762, or just sit back and just let me rant, and we're gonna wait for our guests to show up. All right, thank you. Okay. Here's another one I'm going to throw out there. What did you want to be when you grew up? When you were little, what did you dream about being or becoming? For me, I'm going to take it back to music again. For me, when I was maybe 9, 10, 12, 13, I wanted to be a singer. I wanted to be a musician. I wanted to be in a band. And luckily, a few years down the road, I got that chance. But that was what I wanted to be. I wanted to be an entertainer. I wanted to be a singer, a musician. And I'm talking about my band at the time. We never gained any national attention. We used to do talent shows and backyard parties and stuff like that. But that was it, And my band, I wrote about this. My band, the reason why we broke up is because it was infighting. I mean, guys would not show up to rehearsal, and guys, if they did show up, they would be late. we argued about who's going to be the lead singer and who's going to play the bass guitar, who was going to do the, I mean, it was just a bunch of fucking infighting within the group. So we decided to break up. And soon after that, someone came and stole our material. So, but basically, and it never materialized. I think there was another band down the road that wanted me to join, but somehow I didn't. And so that's what I wanted to be when I was little. I wanted to be an entertainer. I wanted to be a singer. I wanted to be on stage, because some of my admirers back then was Jackie Wilson, James Brown, Temptations. I mean, you name it. Some of those kinds of people. I like dance music a lot. So, you have to go for what you know. You know, like I was saying yesterday, live your dream, because I'm living my dream right here on the radio. I'm living my dream. This is what I was destined to do and destined to be. It took a long time. I mean, you know, but still in all, I found what I wanted to do in life. Because I enjoy this. I enjoy talking to people on the radio. I enjoy the camaraderie that I have with my guests who are, you know, who on the show. I enjoy booking. I enjoy the help that I get in putting the show together. And but basically, it's just me. Somehow, I like doing everything. I mean, because doing everything for this show make me feel that I'm doing it my way. Because if this show fails, if you don't listen, then if you have a problem or a gripe with the show, there is nobody to talk to but me, yours truly. Because if something, the show is me. I mean, everything about it is me, and I like it that way. That way, I don't have to depend on other people for anything, and you shouldn't either. If I had to depend on other people to put this show on the air, I would have problems. I would have problems. And you should not depend on other people either. If you are a young adult and you have dreams, you have goals, you have places you want to go, rely on no one but yourself. Because if you're relying on people, if you're listening to other people, they may be in some way trying to keep you back, trying to keep you down, trying to keep you from getting your goal, reaching your goal. And never give up on reaching your goal. Never give up on wanting to be something super, something great, something wonderful. Because people, I've said this several times on the show, people will try to bring you down. And people will laugh at you. People will think you're a joke. But it's up to you to not let those people stop you from your dream, because they sure will. And I harp on this because this show is basically, I've said this every day, all the time on the show, this show is about making the world a better place. And where do we start in making the world a better place? We start with ourselves. We look at ourselves. And then we make that change. You know, we start with ourselves, because the world is, I don't know. Every time I talk about making the world a better place, it seems like the worse it gets. And it seems like there's no hope. There is hope. And the hope is you. The hope is me. The hope is those people over there. We just have to, you know, do what we have to do. I'm doing my part because I'm on the radio. But you have to do your part. Do your part. Yeah, I am doing my part. Well, George, you in a studio. Yeah, but this show, the George Wilder Jr. Show, reaches the entire world. I mean, the internet is global. Not just global, maybe universal. So I am doing my part. I am reaching people. You have to try to find a way to reach people. Maybe I'm not reaching enough people. Maybe the people I'm reaching, maybe they're have the show on, but they're not actually listening. But we all have to do our part in making the world a better place. We have Donald Trump. as president of the United States. Love him or hate him, it doesn't matter. We still have to do our part. You know, we still have to do our part in making the world a better place. Donald Trump will not, he claims he's going to make America great again. I don't see it. But who knows what might come down the road. Okay? So we want to make sure that people out there who are listening, that we need to make the world a better place. We, that's plural. That means us. That means more than one. We need to make the world a better place. You have to get up off the couch, cut the TV off, you know, stop lounging around, being lazy, put the pizza down, and think about making the world a better place. Look outside of yourself. Look outside that window. What can you do to make it a better place? A better place to live. And I'm talking to the world. I'm not just talking in America. Wherever it is, make the world a better place. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. We will be right back. We're going to take a musical break. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in.
I'm here today to talk about a disturbing question, which has an equally disturbing answer. My topic is the secrets of domestic violence. And the question I'm going to tackle is the one question everyone always asks. Why does she stay? Why would anyone stay with a man who beats her? I'm not a psychiatrist, a social worker, or an expert in domestic violence. I'm just one woman with a story to tell. I was 22. I had just graduated from Harvard College. I'd moved to New York City for my first job as a writer and editor at 17 Magazine. I had my first apartment, my first little green American Express card, and I had a very big secret. My secret was that I had this gun loaded with hollow point bullets pointed at my head by the man who I thought was my soulmate many, many times. The man who I loved more than anybody on earth held a gun to my head and threatened to kill me more times than I can even remember. I'm here to tell you the story of crazy love, a psychological trap disguised as love, one that millions of women and even a few men fall into every year. It may even be your story. I don't look like a typical domestic violence survivor. I have a BA in English from Harvard College, an MBA in marketing from Wharton Business School. I spent most of my career working for Fortune 500 companies, including Johnson & Johnson, Leo Burnett, and The Washington Post. I've been married for almost 20 years to my second husband, and we have three kids together. My dog is a black lab, and I drive a Honda Odyssey minivan. So my first message for you is that domestic violence happens to everyone. All races, all religions, all income and education levels. It's everywhere. And my second message is that everyone thinks domestic violence happens to women, that it's a women's issue. Not exactly. Over 85% of abusers are men. And domestic abuse happens only in intimate, interdependent, long-term relationships. In other words, in families. The last place we would want or expect to find violence, which is one reason domestic abuse is so confusing. I would have told you myself that I was the last person on earth who would stay with a man who beats me. But in fact, I was a very typical victim because of my age. I was 22. And in the United States, women ages 16 to 24 are three times as likely to be domestic violence victims as women of other ages. And over 500 women and girls this age are killed every year by abusive partners, boyfriends and husbands in the United States. I was also a very typical victim because I knew nothing about domestic violence, its warning signs or its patterns. I met Connor on a cold, rainy January night. He sat next to me on the New York City subway, and he started chatting me up. He told me two things. One was that he, too, had just graduated from an Ivy League school, and that he worked at a very impressive Wall Street bank. But what made the biggest impression on me that first meeting was that he was smart and funny, and he looked like a farm boy. He had these big cheeks, these big apple cheeks, and this wheat blonde hair, and he seemed so sweet. One of the smartest things Connor did from the very beginning was to create the illusion that I was the dominant partner in the relationship. He did this, especially at the beginning, by idolizing me. We started dating, and he loved everything about me, that I was smart, that I'd gone to Harvard, that I was passionate about helping teenage girls and my job. He wanted to know everything about my family and my childhood, my hopes and dreams. Connor believed in me as a writer and a woman in a way that no one else ever had. And he also created a magical atmosphere of trust between us by confessing his secret, which was that as a very young boy starting at age 4, he had been savagely and repeatedly physically abused by his stepfather. And the abuse had gotten so bad that he had had to drop out of school in 8th grade, even though he was very smart. And he'd spent almost 20 years rebuilding his life, which is why that Ivy League degree and the Wall Street job and his bright, shiny future meant so much to him. If you had told me that this smart, funny, sensitive man who adored me would one day dictate whether or not I wore makeup, how short my skirts were, where I lived, what jobs I took, who my friends were, and where I spent Christmas, I would have laughed at you. Because there was not a hint of violence or control or anger in Connor at the beginning. I didn't know that the first stage in any domestic violence relationship is to seduce and charm the victim. I also didn't know that the second step is to isolate the victim. Now, Connor did not come home one day and announce, you know, hey, all this Romeo and Juliet stuff has been great, but I need to move into the next phase where I isolate you and I abuse you. So I need to get you out of this apartment where the neighbors can hear you scream and out of this city where you have friends and family and coworkers who can see the bruises. Instead, Connor came home one Friday evening and he told me that he had quit his job that day, his dream job. And he said that he had quit his job because of me, because I had made him feel so safe and loved that he didn't need to prove himself on Wall Street anymore. And he just wanted to get out of the city and away from his abusive, dysfunctional family and move to a tiny town in New England where he could start his life over with me by his side. Now, the last thing I wanted to do was leave New York and my dream job. But I thought you made sacrifices for your soulmate. So I agreed. And I quit my job, and Connor and I left Manhattan together. I had no idea I was falling into crazy love, that I was walking headfirst into a carefully laid physical, financial, and psychological trap. The next step in the domestic violence pattern is to introduce the threat of violence and see how she reacts. And here's where those guns come in. As soon as we moved to New England, you know, that place where Connor was supposed to feel so safe, he bought 3 guns. He kept one in the glove compartment of our car. He kept one under the pillows on our bed. And the 3rd one he kept in his pocket at all times. And he said that he needed those guns because of the trauma he'd experienced as a young boy. He needed them to feel protected. But those guns were really a message for me. And even though he hadn't raised a hand to me, my life was already in grave danger every minute of every day. Connor first physically attacked me 5 days before our wedding. It was 7 a.m. I still had on my nightgown. I was working on my computer trying to finish a freelance writing assignment, and I got frustrated. And Connor used my anger as an excuse to put both of his hands around my neck and to squeeze so tightly that I could not breathe or scream. And he used the chokehold to hit my head repeatedly against the wall. 5 days later, the 10 bruises on my neck had just faded, and I put on my mother's wedding dress, and I married him. Despite what had happened, I was sure we were going to live happily ever after, because I loved him, and he loved me so much. And he was very, very sorry. He had just been really stressed out by the wedding and by becoming a family with me. It was an isolated incident, and he was never going to hurt me again. It happened twice more on the honeymoon. The first time, I was driving to find a secret beach, and I got lost. And he punched me in the side of my head so hard that the other side of my head repeatedly hit the driver's side window. And then a few days later, driving home from our honeymoon, he got frustrated by traffic, and he threw a cold Big Mac in my face. Connor proceeded to beat me once or twice a week for the next 2.5 years of our marriage. I was mistaken in thinking that I was unique and alone in this situation. 1 in 3 American women experiences domestic violence or stalking at some point in her life. And the CDC reports that 15 million children are abused every year. 15 million. So actually, I was in very good company. Back to my question. Why did I stay? The answer is easy. I didn't know he was abusing me. Even though he held those loaded guns to my head, pushed me downstairs, threatened to kill our dog, pulled the key out of the car ignition as I drove down the highway, poured coffee grinds on my head as I dressed for a job interview, I never once thought of myself as a battered wife. Instead, I was a very strong woman in love with a deeply troubled man, and I was the only person on earth who could help Connor face his demons. The other question everybody asks is, why doesn't she just leave? Why didn't I walk out? I could have left any time. To me, this is the saddest and most painful question that people ask, because we victims know something you usually don't. It's incredibly dangerous to leave an abuser, because the final step in the domestic violence pattern is kill her. Over 70% of domestic violence murders happen after the victim has ended the relationship, after she's gotten out, because then the abuser has nothing left to lose. Other outcomes include long-term stalking, even after the abuser remarries, denial of financial resources, and manipulation of the family court system to terrify the victim and her children, who are regularly forced by family court judges to spend unsupervised time with the man who beat their mother. And still we ask, why doesn't she just leave? I was able to leave because of one final sadistic beating that broke through my denial. I realized that the man who I loved so much was going to kill me if I let him. So I broke the silence. I told everyone. The police, my neighbors, my friends and family, total strangers. And I'm here today because you all helped me. Ooh. We tend to stereotype victims as grisly headlines, self-destructive women, damaged goods. The question, why does she stay, is code for some people for, it's her fault for staying. As if victims intentionally choose to fall in love with men intent upon destroying us. But since publishing Crazy Love, I have heard hundreds of stories from men and women who also got out, who learned an invaluable life lesson from what happened, and who rebuilt lives, joyous, happy lives, as employees, wives, and mothers, lives completely free of violence. Like me. Because it turns out that I'm actually a very typical domestic violence victim and a typical domestic violence survivor. I remarried a kind and gentle man. We have those three kids. I have that black lab, and I have that minivan. What I will never have again, ever, is a loaded gun held to my head by someone who says that he loves me. Now, right now, maybe you're thinking, wow, this is fascinating. Or, wow, how stupid was she? But this whole time, I've actually been talking about you. I promise you, there are several people listening to me right now who are currently being abused, or who were abused as children, or who are abusers themselves.
I agree. I totally agree.
Abuse could be affecting your daughter, your sister, your best friend right now. I was able to end my own crazy love story by breaking the silence. I'm still breaking the silence today. It's my way of helping other victims. And it's my final request of you. Talk about what you heard here. Abuse thrives only in silence. You have the power to end domestic violence simply by shining a spotlight on it. We victims need everyone. We need every one of you to understand the secrets of domestic violence. Show abuse the light of day by talking about it with your children, your coworkers, your friends and family. Recast survivors as wonderful, lovable people with full futures. Recognize the early signs of violence and conscientiously intervene, de-escalate it, show victims a safe way out. Together, we can make our beds, our dinner tables, and our families the safe and peaceful oases they should be. Thank you.
The George Wilder Jr. Show, The Talk of Our Times, is now on the air. Welcome, everybody.
Okay, we're back. That was pretty interesting. Domestic violence, that's always something I'm going to expose on this show until we eradicate it. Maybe that's wishful thinking, but we're going to do the best we can because this show is all about making the world a better place. It's about making the world a better place. And I'm going to say this again. I'm probably going to say it 1,000 times. One of the best ways of making the world a better place is you turning around and looking at yourself and making a change in yourself, because we are the people of the earth. People. People are the ones who are destroying this planet. People are the ones who are going to save this planet. And we can start saving this planet Earth by making a change in ourselves. You know what you're doing wrong. You see other people doing wrong. You have to try to come out of your conclave and make those wrongs right. If you see wrong being committed, try to intervene to make it right. Don't just sit there and just let it happen or sit back and let it happen. You're not making a difference. You're not making America a better place. You're not making the world a better place. America is great. We just wanted to make it better, you know, because we can see a lot of areas where it can be better or become better. And it's up to us, the people of the earth, the people of the world. We have to make it better. We just can't sit back and hoping other people do our jobs for us. We have to do our job ourselves to make it better. And that's one of the claims that, you know, that people do. They sit back and they wait for other people to do good for them. No, you have to get out there on your own. You can't sit back and hope somebody else make the world a better place for you. You have to be the person out there doing it yourself. You're not going to make the world a better place arguing and bitching and beating up on your wife or your girlfriend or beating up on your dad or your mom, elder abuse. You know, I mean, you're not going to make the world a better place by going to jail. You know, you're not going to make the world a better place by being ridiculous and obnoxious. You are the problem. You're not going to make the world a better place by, you know, committing criminal acts, being in gangs and thugs. And you're not going to make the world a better place by being uneducated and liking it. Make that change and by looking at yourself. Figure out what you're doing wrong and make it right. If you see something in your children that is maybe questionable, intervene. Those are your kids. Be a great parent. Be the best parent to your children that you can be. There is no doubt about it, folks. It's a lot of lousy parents out here. And I have met some over the years. And, you know, it's a lot of parents who think they are doing the right thing by their children. Especially the ones who are ignoring them and not doing what they're told, taking over the house, tearing up the house, talking back, cursing, being in gangs. You have to be a better parent. You got some parents out here who are egging on their children to be in gangs. You got some parents out here egging on their children to do wrong. And once their children, you know, get caught by the police, you know, locked up, and that parent is all out in the streets and yelling and screaming, "Not my child." Yes, your child, because you were a lousy parent. That's not making the world a better place. Be a better parent to your children. The one of the best ways I believe a parent can be a better parent to their kids is to love their children, is to show that they love their children. Kids respond to genuine love. There's no doubt about it. They respond to genuine love. If they get the feeling or have an idea that the family, that the, you know, that the parent may be working against them in some way, they're gonna show that animosity. You have to be the best parent you can be. There's some ways I can't put it, but you know what I'm talking about. Be the best parent you can be and raise the children to you to the best of your ability. I mean, you brought those kids into the world. They are your responsibility, no one else's. If you can't raise them the right way, if you're on drugs, you're drinking, you're obnoxious, you're uneducated, you're refusing to, you know, get your life together, the state is going to take those kids away from you. Do you want that? Yeah, I can hear somebody going, you know. But if you are a responsible parent and you love your children, show them that you love them. Do not reward kids with money, gifts, or anything if they are doing wrong. Too many parents do that. They reward their children for doing wrong. And when you reward a child for doing wrong, there is no incentive for that child to turn their lives around to do the right thing. Oh, mom, why I robbed a bank and mom gave me, you know, what is there to say that that kid or that teenager will not go out and rob another bank only to know that mom and dad is going to praise them for doing it? You know, and suddenly that child winds up in jail, mom and dad down at the jailhouse. And I mean, it just goes on and on and on. In some cases, you might have a parent that's in a gang and egging on his son or daughter to be in a gang. You may have a mom that child may have a mom who's a prostitute, and that mom is teaching her daughter how to be a prostitute, how to pick up men. Small daughter, she's teaching how to pick up men. It happens. It totally happens. Now, all of this is not making the world a better place. I mean, you got pimps out here, you know, in some areas of the world who are pimping women, abusing women, sex trafficking. This stuff is not making the world a better place. You got people in certain communities around Chicago, around America, high crime communities, gunning down their own people, shooting their own, their neighbors, the people in the community, drive-by shootings. This is not making the world a better place. But we're going to work on it. This is why I say, if you want to make a change, and we do need to make a lot of changes, you're going to have to look at yourself. You know who you are committing and doing these acts. You know who you are, or you may know someone who is doing things like this. We have to intervene in people's lives to try to turn them around. I've realized some people are afraid. Some people are just don't give a damn. Some people are saying, well, George, you're talking the right things. You're saying the right thing. But, you know, I'm going to go over here and turn on the TV, get me a slice of pizza. George, you make the world a better place, and I support you. That ain't going to work. That's not going to work. But one of the things about this show, we will still remain on the air and try to make the world a better place. At least on my tombstone, on my gravesite, it'll say, here lies George Wilder Jr., the idiot who tried to make the world a better place and failed. It happens. It could happen. But you know what? Hey, wow. If you want to call me that, then call me that. You know, if I'm an idiot, I'm enjoying being an idiot because, you know, I mean, I'm on the radio. OK, this radio reaches around the world, and a lot of people who are listening to the show, they know other people who are doing the wrong things. I mean, it could be somebody in your family, it could be a close friend, it could be an acquaintance. Somebody knows somebody who's doing something not right. And if you know that somebody that you've known for a long time is going down the wrong road, why not intervene? Why let this person just ruin their lives? That's not making the world a better place. This is why I say we have to get our acts together. Yeah, I've been preaching on this show for a long time. Put the guns down. There are solutions to the crime problem in the city of Chicago. You know, but we have to, in order for that, any of my solutions to take place, we're going to have to change the administration, because I don't think the mayor gives a damn. I don't think the governor gives a damn. I think they're saying, hey, wow, these people are going to kill each other. They're going to shoot each other. Let them, you know. But as politicians, these people, one of the criterias for their job, for their jobs, is to protect the people of their city, is to protect the people of their state, and they're not doing it. And they don't seem to care. What they care about is elections. Who can get the more seats in the legislature? Who can win the most votes? You know, and who's going to have control? Who's going to have veto power? Who's going to have overriding power? It's about power. It's not about saving souls. It's not about saving people in the ghetto. It's not about stopping drive-by shootings or dismemberment of children thrown, and these kids are being thrown into the lagoons or the rivers, head over here, arm over there, leg over there. There are solutions to these, to the crime problem, but, and I've espoused it on this show for a long time, how to bring the crime down in the city of Chicago. I've done it several times on the show, but however, even though some of the politicians, they've heard the show, they've heard what I've said, because whether they've listened to the show or they heard it word of mouth from someone else who listened to the show, they know that what the George Wilder Jr. Show is all about, because the George Wilder Jr. Show is one of the finest shows in the city of Chicago. And that is not me saying that. That is listeners who have listened to the show and those who have been on the show and a part of the show. So there is concrete ways of bringing down the crime in the city of Chicago, but we just have to elect people to office who care about bringing down the crime. You can't bring down crime in high crime in the city of Chicago if you don't have politicians in the office who care. This show is political, but it's a variety show. I talk about a bunch of subjects on the show because I love doing what I'm doing. I love the fact that this is all over the world, and it's just makes me humble. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It's 7:10 p.m. If it looks like 12 o'clock outside, 12 midnight outside, but it's very, very early because of daylight savings time. I hate daylight saving time in the fall because it gets dark between 4 o'clock and 4:30. And at 5 o'clock, it's pitch black outside. It does look like it's about midnight, but it's not. It's early evening. And I start the show at 6 o'clock p.m. just about every night, Monday through Thursday. We're off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But there is a time when, you know, before daylight savings times, whenever the show was over, it was over, it was done for that particular day, for that particular episode, there was still light outside. It was still light, still bright, still wonderful, still summer, still warm. But now when daylight saving time cuts in and fall and winter cuts in, it just seems like the days are just so damn short. I mean, you get up to go to work in the dark. You come home in the dark. It's ridiculous. But this is the way things are. So we have to accept it. We can't change it. And that's one of the things I want to tell folks. If you can't change something, don't worry about it. I mean, if something's not right and you can't change it, you have no control of it, don't go somewhere and worry the hell about it. If you can't change it, move on to those things that you can change. And what you can change is you. If you feel you are not the best person that you can be, then you have to be that person in the mirror looking back at yourself and say, hey, Rhonda, you're the one that's going to have to make the change. And I think each one of us is going to have to tell ourselves that. Make that change and make the world a better place. It has to be done. There is no other way to do it, folks. All right.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
Yeah, it certainly is. It certainly is the talk of our times. It is the talk of our times because we have to talk in order to get things done. We have to have that diplomacy. Okay, we have to change the marquee here because my scheduled guest did not appear. It happens. So we're going to do this while we change the marquee.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone.
Lord, we don't need another mountain.
There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb.
There are oceans and rivers
enough to cross.
Enough to land.
Enough to last till the end of time.
What the world
needs now, the sweet love.
It's the only thing that there's just too little love.
What the world.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I agree with it. I do think what the world needs now, or maybe the world always had needed, love, sweet love. And that's something that we just don't have. Or it's very little of it that we have. And, you know, it's got to change or we're going to perish right here on this earth. We're going to perish. I mean, I'm not talking in biblical proportions or anything, but I don't think we can continue to stand like this. I just don't think we're going to make it too far this way, hating each other, despising each other, fighting each other, yelling at each other, bitching with each other, you know, cheating each other, shooting each other, robbing each other. I just don't think we're going to make it like that. Hurting babies, hurting children, hurting the elderly, abusing the elderly, domestic violence. You know, all of this and more encompasses the world. And we have to, everybody who is involved in these kinds of things, you know who you are, you know what you are. And again, if we want to make the world a better place, it's going to take you to change. Cheating, lying, racism. You know who you are. You know what you are. If you don't change, I just believe that the world is going to blow up or something, you know, because of all the atrocities that people have done to the earth and themselves and those around them, especially those around them who are innocent, who haven't done anything. Don't get me wrong, folks. It's some great people out here, some wonderful people out here, but there isn't enough of them. You know, I do think that the world is overcrowded with crazies, buffoons, idiots, people who just don't give a damn about nothing, people who refuses to get up off their asses and do something great in their communities, people who just walk the street blindly with nowhere to go and just refuses to try to help even themselves. I can go on and on and on and on, but the show is almost over. So I'm going to have to stop. Okay. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be off for 3 days because I got to do some writing. I got a few errands I have to run, and we are thinking about Thanksgiving here. Okay. So, it's been great. Make sure you tune into the show Monday through Friday. A lot of the same topics are covered, but who knows what we're going to be talking about. It's not all about politics. It's about anything you want to talk about. It's about anything I want to talk about. It's about the world, you know. So tune into the George Wilder Jr. Show 4 days a week, Monday. There are going to be some changes coming to the show. There's no doubt about that because we can't keep doing this, especially when there's other matters that have to be reckon with, taken care of, but we're going to still be here no matter how big or small the changes may take in the future for this show. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It has been fun, folks. I totally enjoyed it. We're going to have a slew of guests for December. I have another book coming out, a Christmas book. We're going to talk about that after Thanksgiving. And that's fun. That was fun, too. I don't write unless it's fun. It's got to be great. It's got to be something that actually pulls me in for me to complete a story. All righty. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're going to take you out with this.
Bombs begin to fall. Anyone you never saw. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw. Heaven help us, oh, heaven help us, oh, help us.
now lay me down before I go to sleep. In a troubled world, I pray the Lord to keep. Keep hatred from the mighty and the mighty from the small.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good. Sounds good. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We got about a minute left into the show. I want to say, hey, it's been fun. It's been great. I enjoy doing the show. I enjoy the guests. I enjoy the callers to 347-857-1762. I'm so used to rattling off that name, and someone just whispered in my ear 90 seconds. Oh, wow. Okay, we will see you Monday, November 21st, 2016, if you're listening live. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, if you're podcasting this show, you're listening later, you know that you're listening to a best of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Whenever this show is recorded and podcasted, you can always find this show on Facebook and on Google. It's all over the place. Okay, you wow, I can't even say it. You have been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and we're out of here. I hope you guys join me next week. Bye-bye. Listen to my show. Is that a bitch?